Malachi chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. We've already done the chapter 3, 1 through 4. Now we're going to do 4, 1 through 3. For behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and every evildoer will be chaff. And the day that is coming will be set ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall. You will tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on that day which I am preparing, says the Lord of hosts. Well, we've got something to look forward to coming up. Beulah Land, perfect introduction to this song. There's a day coming when the wicked will be dealt with and we will tread over them like they were ashes and things will get really, really well. But right now, in this world, I know that people have already started talking about it and it was discussed with me already, is if you didn't know, where were you? There was shootings and bombs and all sorts of stuff going off in Paris. To the extent that the president of France said, it is an act of war that was committed by a terrorist army. For a president of an important country like France to say that, war, act of war, and army. Now they're debating, does he really mean those terms in exactly the way he said them? And yes, at that time, that's the way he meant them. This is a war. It's an act of war. And the sad part is, I guess you would say, is just hours before this happened, the President of the United States on ABC said, our goal has been first to contain ISIS, and we have contained them. I bet he regrets that now. But that was his stand that he was going to do, and it was great, and everybody said yes, because they are collapsing. They killed another ISIS leader in the country of Libya over the weekend also. But another thing that he said, President Obama said, we are increasing the number of Syrians and other refugees that we admit to the United States to 100,000 per year for the next 2 years. That's year 2016 and 2017. And he said this back in September. Now, what does all this mean? Well, it means we should be paying attention to what Jesus has talked about, what the Old Testament prophets has talked about, but we also should be paying attention to what our news media is actually saying. This morning, I noticed that the news media is starting to subtly change the words that they are using on the news. They're couching it in such a way that it doesn't sound so odious as it actually is. One of the NPR people I was listening to this morning was doing an interview, and they said this, the people that did this are criminals and not refugees. They did not say they were terrorists and not refugees, but they said they were criminals. So it softens it down to make it sound like, well, you know, they're like petty criminals, or what degree are these criminals actually functioning at? But they're criminals. We don't want to use the word terrorist because the word terror has connotation. If you guys didn't know, if you go, you need to take some classes in this in college. We had to take it. Actually, I also have a bachelor's degree in journalism. Can you believe that? My teachers couldn't believe it, but they gave me one anyway. But they will teach you about words and how to use them, and they will teach you the difference of denotation and connotation. Denotation means this is the definite meaning of a word. Connotation means this is the meaning of the word, but it has overtones. That it causes people to filter it or to think about these people in a different way. They are terrorists, an army of terrorists. They are criminals and not refugees. You see the difference? I mean, I'm doing it for emphasis. Terrorist, an army of terrorists. That makes you go, oh my. But if they say criminals and not refugees, It segregates them from the people. It's pouring across the borders in Europe, and it makes them just criminals, and it causes you to separate them, not refugees. These people are different from the people that are pouring across the border. The interesting thing, though, is about 4 months ago, I remember discussing it, I think, on a Wednesday night, ISIS said, we are sneaking jihadist terrorists across your borders into Europe with all those people that's coming in. We are going to get you. Those were my paraphrase words, but that was the idea. And they said, we are infiltrating jihadists in with all these people. The question is which ones are the criminals and which one are the terrorists? They're wanting to downplay the evidence of what's going on about these attackers. They're not wanting people to get a little on the edgy, panicky side. And they're starting to say, well, now we can't really change our policies. One of the interviews I listened to this morning, the president of France had said, remember, act of war, army of terrorists, or terrorist army, actually, get it right, act of war, terrorist army. And they was interviewing this person and they said, well now, you don't really think that's what he means. What do you think he means? Knowing full well what this person's going to give the answer they're looking for. And they said, no, I don't think he means that in a literal sense. I think he means it in a way of motivating people to be more aware of what's going on, but we definitely will not want to impede the refugees or stand in their way from coming to our country, because that wouldn't be kind. That's the idea. It wouldn't be kind. Now, they didn't say that, but that's the way they're playing it. And so they were also trying to downplay the words war and terror and army, because it wasn't the way they're wanting to spin it. You'll hear politicians say, it's important whenever there is a disaster of any kind that we grab the narrative. That just means we need to step up and just flood the media, for you people who are computerized more, tweets, social networks, Facebooks, they actually have people who function as a bank, and they will tell them, you need to go on to your emails, onto your lines, onto your tweets, and all this. Get on the social media and start saying this, because we're wanting to get ahead of the story and manage the story and make it go the way we want. Not necessarily the way of truth, but the way we want it. So they'll use terms. One of the first tweets that started coming out was, terrorists have no religion. These people was yelling Allah Akbar, which means God, or Allah is greater. And they were saying, this is for Syria. And then they said, terrorists have no religion. Allah Akbar? And this group has no religion? And that's what they was tweeting. And then somebody went on the other side and started saying this, not all Muslims are terrorists. But by and large, in the past 2 decades, most of the terrorists have been Muslims. Now that's closer to the truth. Why am I saying all that? Is because we need to be aware of what's going on and not get lulled into a false sense of peace. Even this morning, while all this is going on, our White House has announced this 100,000 that they're wanting to admit every year. They brought them to New Orleans already. And they announced this morning that they're wanting to set up centers to process the 100,000 that they're planning on letting into the country over the next 2 years, getting them in faster rather than having a long drawn out affair with this. And so they're still going ahead with the plan. And it didn't say that they're going to do it better. They just said faster. We assume that it's going to be better. But has the government really done that much stuff better? Just a question. Now, don't get me wrong on this. Ted Cruz, the senator from Texas, said, they are at war with us. This will be coming to America. That's what he said after Paris. They are at war with us, and they will be coming to America. Now, the question is this, and this is where we're going. What can we do? What can we do as individuals? Speak out. Speak out. Study about it. Get the facts. Pay attention to what's actually being said, what the events are, and pay attention to what the media are saying. Are they coloring it, spinning it? Are they contriving it so it's to cushion it so that it will not cause you to want to say, we've got to do something about this? Whether you agree or disagree, that's up to you. But study the situation and then speak out what you think should be done. Speak out. Terrorists, this event, I sure wouldn't want to call it terrorism, this event that happened will touch our nation. If nothing else, it's already shoving the debate of the election in a different direction than it was going before. Now it's going to be talking about this non-war conflict that we're having, because they don't want to use that term. This is going to be brought out more and more and more. One person already went online, a commentator went online and said, whether you know it or not, that bombing in Paris probably has elected Donald Trump to the presidency. Because he's been saying we've got to shut the borders and all this good stuff, or bad stuff, your opinion, I don't care. But he is saying, you know, we've got to do something about it. And this person said, that is what's happened over there, and it will probably cause the American people to swing around and say, we've got to shut the borders. We need to be aware of what's going on and not act in a panic. How many times in our Bible, and we've talked about this, does it say, don't be afraid. Do not fear. Trust in God. Do not fear. We are not to be afraid of what's going on there, but God also wants us to be aware of what's going on over there. And here, I mean, after all, we did have 9/11. We have had these shootings. There was the bombing at the World Trade Tower long before it was ever hit by the airplanes. And we've had all this shooting at Fort Hood. All that is here. And it has happened, but it's usually toned down, or they're trying to underplay it because they're not wanting us to panic and do something. I am not wanting you to panic either. We are the children of God, and we do not need to fear anything because God is on our side. But what's going on is not a conventional war. Most wars are fought over this political group wants that piece of ground, and then they fight over who actually gets the rights to that ground. That's just the way it's been for hundreds and thousands of years. I want that ground. I'll have a war. I'll take it. It's my ground now. What's going on here is not conventional. It's actually, the idea is an ideological one. It's fought for the minds, the culture, and the heart, or the way of life for a people. That's what's going on. It's not so much a land grab right now as they're saying, we want to take control of the way this world thinks. Both sides are going at it that way. We want to take control of what this world thinks. The terrorist side is saying, we want to terrorize you so much that you will be cowed down and you will knuckle under and you will do whatever we tell you to do just so that you can get along, and then we will let you not live in fear. But they're liable to do a few other things along the way. The other side is going, don't pay attention to them. They are not really terrorists. They're criminals. We want you to think our way, and you can trust us. We're going to negotiate. We're going to talk. We're going to settle this some other way. Once again, the question is then, is what can we do? What is the big weapon that would actually go against the terrorists? And I don't care. It doesn't have to be Islamic. It doesn't have to be the Shining Path, which is a communist terror group. It doesn't have to be any particular terror group. I don't care who you are. Even criminals, mafia, all this, just all the bad people. There is one weapon that we can use to win this war. Just one. Christ. The good news of Jesus Christ. Christianity is the one ideology, or if you're from Southern Illinois, ideology, the one ideology that can, and it will eventually, triumph over all the wickedness in this world. We read it in Malachi already in verse 4. The wicked shall be like ashes under your feet. The time is coming when this will happen. But until that time, Christianity is one of the greatest influences that has ever crossed across the continents of this world that has ever influenced this world. We're going to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, or chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Oh, we're shot up several pages there. We're going to that. This conflict for the hearts and minds and the culture is going on, and they both sides of the spectrum that's going at it in the media right now, the main speakers, people who are speaking out mostly, have rejected Christianity and said, we don't want them. Boy, you ought to go on the internet and see all the trash talk they're talking about. If it wasn't for the Christians, this wouldn't be happening today. Yeah, you read this kind of stuff on the internet. But the reason it's so influential, changing of lives and hearts, is because 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. So if you become a Christian, your old creature, your old nature, is theoretically done away with, and it is practically done away with. The more and more you walk as a disciple of Jesus Christ, your very nature is changed and is brought closer to conformity to Jesus, who was perfect, who says he didn't even bruise a reed. He didn't bruise grass when he walked by it. He wouldn't extinguish a smoldering flame so that he could encourage it. You know, if there's just a little bit of flame there, he could get a fire going out of it and change the way the world would be brighter because of the light. And he would encourage this. He said he wouldn't even tread upon a glowing ember that had the possibility of bringing forth light into this world, was the idea. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, adds this also. Galatians 2, verse 20, which is the first book right after the Corinthians. 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. When the message of Christianity is taken to the world, and the people of the world accept it, their lives are so fundamentally changed that the culture is changed and everything's improved. The wickedness that drove us to Christ, that caused us to seek Him out in order to have our sins washed away, He says, I'm going to do more than just wash away your sins. You will die to this world and you will live by faith in Jesus Christ. And the more you understand about Jesus and God, the more that righteousness will come through for you. That's why we study the Bible. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Christianity causes people to be born again, and it's an upward calling, and that's what it's referred to in the New Testament, the upward calling of Christ. And this call has gone out over all the earth. Every person in the world has an upward calling. Come up to me, come to me, come to me. Lift, if the Son of Man be lifted up, He will call all men to Him. That's what is said in the Scriptures. He does not lie. God doesn't lie. Therefore, a call has gone out and is going out to all people to trust in Him, to turn from their wicked ways, to be saved, and let Him alter their life for the better. God, Jesus Christ, causes us to have an improved culture also. So much so that an atheist who had been traveling in Africa, the sub-Saharan, that's the southern part of Africa, he was going through there and looking at the cultures and the problems that they were having and the religious context of what was going on down there. And he came back. This is an atheist who does not believe in God and does not believe in Christianity. And his assessment of the situation was this. We need to send evangelical Christians to Africa to evangelize those people. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in the church. I don't even believe in evangelical Christianity. But the influence these people have on the converts down there, their lives are so changed and their cultures are so changed, their life is improved. And even though I don't buy into it, I can see the change. I can see the benefit of these Christian evangelicals working in that area. An atheist said, we need to send more missionaries to Africa. And when an atheist sees the value of Christianity, something's going on. We need to send more people out. We need to be praying and supporting true believers in Christ. So what do? We heed the words of Matthew 24. That's the first book of the Old Testament. Matthew 24, verse 43. 24:43. We need to do what Christ says. Just this verse. Be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. Just that verse is a specific truth. If you know something's bad and it's coming your way, then you need to be prepared for that. What do we need to do? We need to vote. We need to speak out. We need to study. And we need to speak out and educate our friends, our neighbors, and our family the way we understand it and see it. We are Americans. We have access to the truth. And we need to avail ourselves to the truth. I hear one particular radio group say this: if you're busy, trust us for your news. When you are too busy to understand and digest everything that's going on in the world, trust us to filter out that which is true and give you the proper understanding. Excuse me? I'm smart enough to read the news. Give me the facts and let me filter out the stuff that I'm not buying into. And why should I trust you? I don't even know what you believe. Why should I trust you to tell me the truth of the matter? No, give me the truth of the matter and let me tell you the truth of it and how it works. We are Americans, so we need to study, speak out, and with our knowledge, go vote. Go vote. And if you're really passionate about it, pick somebody. I don't care. It's up to you. After you do your studying and you grasp the situation to the best of your ability, write a check to somebody and say, I'm behind you. I'm putting my money where my mouth is. I'm supporting you. We are Americans. We have that right and we have that privilege. Speak out in the ballot box. If we get people who aren't good elected, it's our own fault. Here's something else we need to do. This is going over to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 1 through 3, and we're going to read about a terrorist. A terrorist, and that's all you can call it. A terrorist. Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him, that's Stephen, to death. And on that day, a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Some devout men buried Stephen and made loud lamentations over him. But Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house, dragging off men and women and putting them in prison. This guy was there to cause terror to fall upon the people. Acts chapter 9, verse 1 through 6. Now Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging in the way, that means the Christians, because Jesus is the way, both men and women, that he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he was traveling, it happened that as he was approaching Damascus, a sudden light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter that city, and it will be told to you what you must do. The men who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but not seeing anyone. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. And leading him by the hand, they brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. If you drop down and keep reading, Jesus comes to a guy named Ananias. Verse 11. Now let's just go to 10. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Get up and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus there named Saul, for he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he was, has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call upon your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of the Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus has appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, and has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then it goes on telling what happens, and we know that from all this incident that Paul, Saul, the terrorist, becomes Paul the apostle, Paul the evangelist, the chosen one who is to take the message, the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles, and he becomes known as the apostle to the Gentiles. That's what we were studying in Sunday school. He had heard this. What are we to do with this? Here is a terrorist, and now we have an example of what to do for terrorists. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for the enemies. Pray for our enemies. We do not know if one of those people who are crossing our borders without being noticed, we need to pray for them, because we do not know if one of those people happens to be an apostle to the Islamic world. They're liable to be on their way to Paris or Rome or London, someplace like that, and God stop them in a vision and say, You, I've chosen, you're now going to be my man, and you're going to go talk to the Islamic people, and you're going to suffer for it, but that's your way, and that's my way, and it's going to happen. So get up and start going. Yes, this kind of stuff has happened. We have an example in Acts. But do you guys remember when Andy Ferrier was here a couple of weeks ago and he was speaking? One of the things he said, and kind of skipped right over it, but he said it, is there are now activity, people are talking about how there are Muslim people who are having dreams and visions of Jesus Christ. And he is telling them that they need to get right and become Christians. They need to convert. They need to trust in him, because he is the way, the truth, the light, and the Savior. And he said, there are people who are converting to Jesus Christ because of a vision or a dream that they are seeing. That's Andy Ferrier. I have been hearing this same kind of stuff also through my friends and the different people I know. We need to pray for our enemies. And the last thing we need to do is this. Therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another so that you might be healed. The last part is the important. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. We've talked about speaking out to our friends and family, learning speaking out by voting. We need to pray for our enemies. But here is something that we need to do. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We need to get right with God. We need to confess our sins. We need to square our accounts. We need to seek righteousness. It's not something that we can earn, but it's something that can be given to us if we trust in Christ. We need to go after that. And once we have secured that and our understanding of that righteousness that He, Christ, gives us, once we've got that, once it's in our heart and life, our prayers can become effectual if we're fervent. People have been known to pray down great revivals that has not only swept across the United States, but across Europe, across Africa. We need to learn how to pray. And when we get right with God, we need to go speak out to God Himself and say, Lord, would you heal our lands? Would you turn the hearts of the fathers and the leaders of our country back to You. Would You teach us to walk in Your ways? Would You help us to lead and guide our children to keep them from stumbling over things that we stumbled over or getting faulty information? Help us to communicate the truth of all the situations in our day-to-day life so that they will be better than we are, so that we will be a better people. If we become a people of prayer, fervently, passionately believing this, God will hear from heaven and He will heal our lands. His promise. His promise. Not Doyle talking. His promise. We need to get right with God. We need to study. We need to be aware. We do not need to be afraid. We need to speak out. We need to speak out, and we need to get right and speak out to our God. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, all glory and honor to Your Son. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of our failures. Father, I ask that You would initiate within us a hunger to square all of our accounts with You and help us and give us the strength, the guidance, and the deliverance to walk in Your ways. Father, I ask that You would protect us from the enemy and the wiles, even when we're stumbling around doing stupid stuff. Protect us now and get us right so that whenever Jesus comes back, and He asked that question rhetorically, will there be faith upon the earth when the Son of Man comes? Father, let Him find the faith of Glenwood shining golden bright, tested and pure as can be, Father, upon the face of the earth. Help us, help us, help us. And Father, I ask that You would cause us to walk in Your ways. Heal our nation, heal ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.